God bless us and help us to picture this scene in our mind, remembering what happened a little over 2,000 years ago, life-changing birth, a new birth for us. And Lord, we pray that our minds would be focused on that and we would be awake and alert and receiving your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We covered the events surrounding the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. Been going over things for the last few weeks leading up to this. But we see in verse 1, it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. The Roman ruler at this time over the Roman Empire calls for a census. Why? For the purpose of taxing people. A census is a good thing. Then you know how many people are in your empire. And he decreed this to be able to collect the taxes. And here, what we see here is God bringing about his plan to have the Christ child be born according to prophecy in the Old Testament, hundreds of years earlier. And the prophecies covered his birth, life, and death, the time and the place. We see that in the Old Testament. It's amazing how God used Caesar Augustus, a person that wasn't believing in God, to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem at the correct time in history and get these people there when God says, this is what's going to happen now, but it has to happen in Bethlehem. So he got this couple who was pregnant who wouldn't normally wake up in the morning and say, hey, let's take a trip to Bethlehem, about a 70-mile journey. So he got them there. I don't know. You know, most of you have probably had babies, but you don't go out traveling, you know, traveling on a donkey or walking on tough roads for 70 miles. And so there had to be something done to get them there. So God uses people to get his will done. Sometimes we wonder in our life, how in the world is this thing going to work out? You know, it's going to work out through God. We just trust him. And he will work our lives out. And so he used this man. And then we see in verse 3. This happens, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. So they had to go to their place of lineage, their hometown, in order to take the census. Everybody where they were born, in their hometown. And now in our day, if you were born in Nevada, and this decree came out that, hey, everyone has to go back where they were born, so we'll see how many people we got here, you know, that's not too easy of a trip. It'd take us a little while to get there, or across country. But if you're born in Sacramento and you're now living in Lake Forest, that's not too hard. Drive up there. But that's the kind of thing that was happening. Getting people where they were born in order to take a census. Joseph was of the house and lineage of David. We see that in verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because it was of the house and lineage of David. So he has to go. His wife comes with him. And just like the prophecy of a virgin birth, which we read of in Isaiah 7:14, the prophecy was a virgin will give birth hundreds of years before Jesus was born. So now to a prophecy that was in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, which said the child would be born in Bethlehem. So miracles all the way through the birth of Jesus, God working it out. In verse 4, so Joseph went there to the city of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. They take the 70-mile trek to Bethlehem. And so it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. The day comes when a woman delivers the baby. They can't say, wait a minute, we're not in a convenient place. When that baby comes, the baby comes. There's no stopping it. So they got there, and it's time for the baby to be born. Now, verse 6, we see, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. God's perfect timing and perfect place. We would probably say, wait till we have a good hotel room. Or let's go to a good place to have this child delivered. No, God's perfect timing and perfect place brought about this great miracle. In our life, sometimes we think, I've got to get everything in order and get to the right place in life, and then I'll be able to serve God, or God can work in my life, and I can see how things will work out. No. God has a plan, He has a timing, and He has a place. Right where all of us are today is where God wants us to be, and knew it through all eternity, we would be here today. And in it, He's got a plan. Isn't that great to know? I can rest. You might feel like you're in a stable and a feed trough today, just about making it. That's okay. If God wants you in a feed trough, if He wants me in a feed trough, I'd rather be in a feed trough with God than out in a mansion without Him. I want to be where God wants me to be, because that's where I'm going to be blessed. You'll be blessed, and I will bless others. So it's time. God's perfect timing. I love this verse. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 4, verse 4 and 5. It tells us, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. I love that. When the fullness of time had come. There's that place in our life where the time comes. Don't you love it when it does? There is that place. We need to be patient so we allow God to work out that time and that place, and it'll come. And it came to bring in this child. Verse 7, and she brought forth him, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, which is a feed trough where animals ate out of, because there was no room for them in the inn. No room. He's born in a feed trough, a very base beginning, wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid in this place, this tub. I don't know about you, but I love to see newborn babies wrapped up very tightly and at peace in this world. I don't know if you've ever, if you've had a baby, you've seen it, or visited in the hospital, the room where they have all the little babies that are just born. They're wrapped up so tight, you wonder, wow, is that going to suffocate them? Can they even breathe? You know what I'm talking about? But they're wrapped up so tight and safe, so they still feel like they're in the womb and they're safe. They wrap them up, they clean them up. They wrap them up, and all you can see is that little face and those lips quivering. It's the most beautiful sight. Can you picture baby Jesus there? But He's in a feed trough. But He's still beautiful. Coming to this world, God visiting us. What a picture. Now, there are shepherds in the field, verse 8. They were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. So their work, doing their job, living out in the fields. Remember this verse, because we're going to get back to it, living out in the fields, tending their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord appears, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. This great, beautiful sight. The Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. It means a bright and glorious light. And they were afraid. You know, whenever you read about angels and people seeing them, it seems fear grips their heart. They must be awesome. Don't be afraid, he says. I have good news for you. Good tidings of great joy. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. I'm bringing good news for everyone. Everyone on earth. And what is that great news? Verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is the birthday we celebrate today. Born to you this day in the city of David is Christ the Lord. In other words, Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Lord. The Christ means the Anointed One and Messiah, but the Lord meant God manifested in the flesh. It was a term used at this time for God, the Lord. So he's the Messiah, the Savior, and God in the flesh. You know, people say, well, we all believe the same thing. All religions believe the same thing. No, we don't. We believe this is God's Son, God in the flesh, without spot or blemish. And he tells them in verse 12, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. He says, well, you don't just want to go looking for just any baby. Here's going to be the sign. Here's how you're going to know him, that this is the Messiah, the Christ child. You know, and these are pretty unique signs here. You're going to find a babe, a new babe, wrapped in swaddling cloths, and he's going to be lying in a feed trough. Now, you don't see too many of those kids around. You know, hey, you know, nobody asks, hey, where were you born? Oh, in a feed trough. You don't hear that too often. So he says, you're going to know this child by this sign. He's going to be there, and you're going to find him this way. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, suddenly, there was this multitude. Remember the glorious light and this multitude praising God. They say that the northern lights, the aurora borealis, has anyone here ever seen that? They say that the northern lights, you know, are quite a spectacle. Just unbelievable light. I can't imagine what this night looked like. Wow. And then with the heavenly host appearing, had to be quite a sight. Too bad they didn't have cameras then. That would be something to see. But it says here, if you notice this in verse 13, this heavenly host praising God and saying, just to bring it out, the Greek word is lego. It's a verb which means to relate in words, usually of systematic or set discourse, like a special message. I'm not sure it was sung. Even though, you know, we have that song, Gloria in Excelsis Deo, taken from this verse, you know, verse 14 here. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Because it said they had this, they related in words, this discourse. Just to tell you. And they were saying, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, but literally could mean peace toward men of goodwill. And what happened, verse 15, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem, see the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. They had faith. Let's go to Bethlehem and see what the Lord did. And what happens? They came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. It's true. Then they go tell it on the mountain, verse 17. Now when they had seen him, they made wisely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. They went out and they told everybody what they had seen. This baby was really born. You'll never believe what I saw. These angels told me this was going to happen. I went there and there he is. Wow. Life-changing. You and I are here today because of this. Because Jesus came into the world. And what happened? The people marveled. And all who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary, did you know, Mary, we wonder, Mary treasured these things in her heart. It tells us that here. That word means ponder, thought about. Thought about them. She heard what was going on. She was told by the angel she would bear a child even though she was a virgin. She knew. But she kept thinking about these things in her heart. Too good to even talk about. She's got the Savior here. And so the shepherds returned. You notice they went back to their work, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told them. They go back praising God what they saw. Today we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Probably most people aren't. Might be doing their last minute shopping, baking, doing different things. Last thing on their mind, birth of Jesus Christ. Probably too busy to go to his birthday party. It's really strange. Too busy buying gifts to go to his birthday party. The birth is celebrated on December 25th. When was Jesus really born? When was Jesus really born? Remember, I told you to remember verse 8? The shepherds in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Well, due to cold weather, and you'll see that everywhere where people have cattle or anything, due to cold weather, out in the fields, out there in the country, and not having them feed out there at that time or living out there, because they were living out there at that time, it says, the latest that would be October. Then they were brought in. So the studies have been made using Zacharias, which we studied about in Luke chapter 1, doing his priestly duties, his turn, and using this verse. And the conclusion is our September, October time frame. Now, please don't get all bummed out. We missed it. It would be because they wouldn't be living out in the field or feeding out in the fields once it got cold. It's too cold. And everything dies. So they're brought in. And so it would be September and October. But that's no problem. Well, when did Christmas start? Well, I'm glad you asked. In 336 A.D., it was instituted by the Roman Emperor Constantine. That's the first writing of it. That's when people started to celebrate it. So, does that mean anything? No. All that means nothing. What is more important than when he came? What is more important is why Jesus came. Why did he come? Not when. We get caught up in so many small things in life. Why did he come? Please turn your Bibles to John 3:16. It tells us here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And here today, if you are a born-again Christian, you and I have the same present. We've all been given the same present. It looks the same, wrapped up the same way, because of God's love. Because why did he come? Because man separated himself from God, chose to separate himself from God through disobeying God. And it continues until today. You see, but God, the Creator, so loved his creation, you and me. And whether you love God or not, you can't hide from this because you can't stop God from loving you. God so loved you and me, even when I didn't love God, He so loved you and me, because I'm his creation, that he provided a way for man's sin to be forgiven, and he actually provided the sacrifice for that to happen. He provided himself a sacrifice, as he told Abraham. God did it all. And that substitute sacrifice is Jesus, this babe that we celebrate today. So we're celebrating quite a big thing. It changed the calendar, B.C. and A.D. Jesus Christ was born so man could be born again. That's why he came. So man could have a second chance in life and to enter heaven and spend eternity with God. For God, this verse just kept speaking to me this week. One verse. And I've probably read it 1,000 times. You have too. For God so loved. That is an awesome love. God so loved a sinful world. Our God, our Creator, loves us. He loves me. And he loves me so much, he gave me a gift. And God's love, it says, because of his love, he gave me his son. So here's a definition of love. All around the world tomorrow, there'll be kids, there'll be adults who don't get what they want, and you're going to say to their parents, you don't love me. Love has nothing to do with the receiving end. Love has everything to do with the giving end. God so loved. He's so loved. It's so amazing, his love. It's so indescribable, and we're told about this indescribable gift. It is so indescribable that it can't be defined. That's what it means. It can't be defined. Well, how do we know about it? How do we know we have it? If it's indescribable, it can't be defined. It can only be demonstrated. It can only be demonstrated. There are no words for real love. You can buy your honey 1,000 cards. And you can buy her a lot of gifts and say a lot of things. But they just want it demonstrated. That's what people want. God knew we needed that. And he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There are no words for real love, but God's action in giving us Jesus demonstrates his love for mankind, for me and you. And our love, which we have as a result of that love, of receiving that love, we call it a fruit of the Spirit who dwells in us. That love that we have really can't be explained or defined either. And we all need to understand this. It can only be demonstrated. You can't buy off people. We are to love them. It's sacrificial. It's unconditional. And it's giving. And it reacts spontaneously. It's spontaneous. Do many of you know Oswald Chambers and My Utmost for His Highest, the devotional? Look at April 30th and read it today. One part, it talks about love, which is written about in 1 Corinthians. Love is not premeditated. Oh, I'm going to do this. Love is not premeditated. It is spontaneous, and it bursts forth in extraordinary ways. It just shows. Isn't that wonderful? I don't have to sit down and take a course on love. I don't have to plan to love my wife, or do you? Because it's just there. And as things arise or I see you, it shows. Because it was put there by God. Isn't that wonderful? Only you can stop it. Only I can stop it. Isn't that wonderful? The government can't say no more loving each other. They could say no more reading the Bible. I don't care. God still dwells in me, and I'm going to share the word. It's spontaneous. I must. Paul said, hey, no big thing there. Hey, gosh, Paul, you're a great preacher. How wonderful. No big thing, he says. I must preach the gospel. I can't hold it in. You see what love's all about? You can't hold it in. And if you don't have that love today, pray that God would soften your heart, remove the bitterness, or whatever got in the way. Maybe God took something from you or someone from you or did something in your life. You're the problem. I'm the problem. Because God's love is there. He loved me while I was yet a sinner. That's what this day is about. The greatest gift of all, a gift of love. This love is just there, part of our being. God so loved the world that he gave this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Jesus always was. He was in the heavenlies before he came here. He wasn't born in September, October, 2,000 and something years ago. Let's turn to the book of John chapter 1. The book of John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, speaking of Jesus, the Logos, the topic. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the beginning, God already was. Jesus already was. What does that mean? He stepped down from there to here. Jesus. That's quite a move, wouldn't you say? That's really downsizing. You know, as you get older, maybe when you start out, or not start out, but somewhere in life, you downsize because you don't need all the room anymore. That's quite a downsize. Heaven, earth. And he did this for us. He came into the humblest of circumstances because God so loved the world. Whoever, and it tells us in John 3:16, and so that whoever believes in him, which means trusts in, clings to, relies on for life and salvation. If you want to go to heaven, God says Jesus is the way. I'm bringing him to you, but he must be received. So that whoever believes, trusts in, clings to, rely on for salvation, they will be kept from the fires of hell and gain eternal life in heaven. Is that a good deal? That's a pretty good deal. That's why Jesus was born. That's why Jesus was born. For you and for me. And why? Because he loves me. I want to be loved. What about you? Be honest. Everyone wants to be loved by parents, children, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, people in the church, friends at work. Everyone wants to be loved. Actually, it's a shock in life when you find out someone doesn't love you or like you, isn't it? How can they not like me? And it's a shock because we're so good. What's not to like? Everyone has that need to be loved. And wants and desires that need to be loved. You can kind of hide it, that need, that desire, because it's not happening. You can try to drown it with drugs or alcohol. You can undertake things in life to try and forget these feelings. But everyone wants to be loved. And the Bible tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that, Jim, you will know I love you. Isn't that wonderful? We all want to be loved by God, don't you? You know it already because he just said so. He so loved you, he gave you this present. How do I know he loves me? Again, it can't be defined because he showed me, because he demonstrated it. Therefore, there's no doubt. He did that for me. So love is about giving. Christmas, celebrating Jesus, is about giving, about sacrificing, about preferring others before yourself, about being hospitable. We celebrate Christmas, and we celebrate it by giving presents. That's okay. It's good to give people presents. We call them gifts or presents. But God so loved us. And maybe you're thinking, well, what can I buy for God? Have you had a hard time this year buying for somebody so you end up with a gift card from the supermarket? With all we have in life now, it's getting harder and harder to buy. Why make them wait in the exchange line next week? They're going to bring it back. It's hard to buy because we're in a society today that really doesn't have a need. I can live today on very little, but I seem to want a lot. So presents aren't going to do it for God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Actually, now we could say he owns the houses on 1,000 hills. You know, but there's nothing we can buy for God. And you love him because he loves you. So what do you want to give God? What does Jim want to give God? What do I want to give to Jesus? It's his birthday. Do I just receive and not give? Well, I give him the same thing he gave to me. My life. My being. My hands. My feet. My mouth. As Paul says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable service. He wants you. Money won't do. There's another bumper sticker. He wants you. Money won't do. And he wants my life. He wants me to serve him. And you know the thing about it? He did it with joy. Isn't that something? Sometimes we give with constraint, don't we? Oh, okay, you're putting the pressure on. I'll do it. He did it for the joy, Jesus, that was set before him. God wants us, our body, our soul, our spirit, for his use. He wants my mind and my heart. He wants me. He wants us to give of ourselves, to sacrifice, to prefer others. He wants me to present his love to others. Maybe this year you're not in a position to give much to others. Maybe it's been a difficult year. Just give of yourself in some way. Well, I don't know who I could help or how I could do it. Then open your eyes and be aware of the people around you. They're just like you. They need love. Give of yourself in some way. Pray with someone or for someone or serve somewhere. Or just ask God how you can love them, because people want to be loved. And that's representing God's love for you. We must demonstrate it. And sometimes it calls for sacrifice, giving ourselves up for another, just to demonstrate our love for them. Maybe I would want to do this, but I know doing this would bless them. Then give in. God demonstrated his love I know he loves me. So the birth of Jesus is about three things: giving, receiving, and regifting. God, first of all, you know what I'm getting to. First of all, God so loved us, he gave. Do we all understand that? Giving. That's God's love. True love is giving in nature. But then, a gift must be received. We understand that, don't we? I must accept that gift and say, Jesus, come into my life and take over. I love you. Forgive me of my sin. I repent. Come and take a hold of my life. It must be received. God offers it up. If you don't know the Lord, say yes to God today. I believe this, all that the pastor just shared today. Jesus, come into my life and take over. Do that before you leave today. You can just share it with the person next to you. One must personally say yes to God, ask for forgiveness, and repent. But then the third thing, God wants us to regift. He wants us to pass it on. Have you ever regifted? Smile if you have. Regifted. What does it mean? I pass on a gift given to me. I got it for free, so I give it to them for free. Passing it on. We are commissioned to preach the gospel. The good news of what God has done for me, just like the shepherds shared it. They went and told it on the mountain. Jesus Christ has come into the world, and he is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father in heaven. And you can have him. Praise the Lord. God is good. We need a regift. Pray for others that they'll receive this gift. But most of all, speak it out and live it out. In our text today, we read in verse 17. In verse 17, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. God's love and God's gift is what we are celebrating in the birth of Jesus Christ today. So amazing, it can't be described, just demonstrated. Let us leave here today committed to demonstrating our love. That is for God and for others. That is the best gift anyone can receive from us today. Lord, thank you for your word today. We thank you for your great love. God, I thank you personally for what you've done for me. I thank you for your love. And letting me understand what true love is. Help us all, Lord, to be those vessels that surrender all to you and not hold anything back. Don't let the enemy get a grip on us or the flesh or the world. You've set us free. We don't want to be put back into bondage. There's so much pressure, trials that go on in this holiday season. Let us rise above that and continue to keep our eyes on you and understand what a great gift we have. Lord, if there's anyone in this room that understood what we share today, please give them the faith to believe. I pray now they would personally ask you into their life and give up, ask for forgiveness, repent, and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh, and he came for them. Please accept them into your family, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.